Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Joshua Milliken. I represent the appellant, Phelan Sams, in this matter. Your Honors, in this case, the two main issues are going to be, number one, whether the Uniform Act to secure the attendance of out-of-state witnesses in criminal proceedings applies, and if the answer is yes, there are some other issues. If the answer is no, then we can sort of skip ahead to, were the disclosures in this case made in accordance with the terms of the subpoena, which would entitle Yahoo to the immunity or permit them to have the immunity under 18 U.S.C. 2703E.
You agree that the Uniform Act does not apply where the a corporate witness to be subpoenaed has presence within the state of Georgia?
I do not agree, Your Honor.
There's a case within Georgia that says to the contrary.
Actually, with all due respect, the Urey case doesn't say that. The Urey case says once we determine that the Uniform Act applies, then you, as the corporation, get to determine who you want to send. It's just because, and I respect Judge Batten's opinion in the Sams case in the Northern District of Georgia, he misinterpreted Urey. Urey, I understand what the court's saying, but Urey says you don't get to that point until there's a determination.
Well, the whole purpose of the statute, at least as far as the service is concerned, was to provide for service in situations where otherwise service might not have been possible. Isn't that correct?
It is, and I would agree. I think your next question probably is, isn't it up to Yahoo or whoever to decide whether they want to make the Uniform
Well,
Act?
Before we get to that,
yes, sir.
Isn't it correct that Yahoo clearly does have presence, offices, and people in Georgia?
Yes.
So for purposes of Georgia law, there's absolutely no question that Yahoo could have been subpoenaed at any time by the grand jury in Georgia without ever invoking the act?
Yes.
Okay. So now that we have that established, to what degree do we even need to talk about the act other than the availability of immunity?
Well, if I could just back up a little tiny bit, my yes was a yes to your question, but it's also a little bit qualified because most of the case law is dealing with civil subpoenas.
Right.
And that's part of the problem. It's part of why we hear is a policy issue. There's been judicial guidance on search warrants, on 2703D orders. This is sort of a vacuum where there's been no judicial guidance.
We'll give you a ruling.
Exactly. And then, I'm sorry, to answer your question, to be honest, I just forgot your question.
I think we'd finish with the point that if since Yahoo has people and offices in Georgia, there's no question that it could be lawfully subpoenaed under Georgia law by a Georgia grand jury. So the question next was, other than the immunity issue, what's our point in talking about the act for purposes of this particular case?
The purpose of this particular case, there's probably not one. I mean, and the reality is we could just skip ahead to, I guess, the second question is, was their response or their disclosures in accordance with the terms of the subpoena?
Are you saying that the first question is answered by Georgia law?
I don't believe it is answered by Georgia law with respect to grand jury subpoenas.
Your position is that if the grand jury subpoena is like a civil subpoena, that would be civil.
Yes, sir.
And if we reject that argument,
if you reject that argument, then the Uniform Act would be applicable, and Yahoo's response, it would not have been an actual subpoena they responded to. It would have been a piece of paper purporting to be a subpoena that had no compulsory power.
Let me follow up on my colleague's question. I thought you'd answered this before, but I guess you had a dividing line in your mind between civil and criminal.
Yes, sir.
Regardless of the nature of the subpoena, in this case, grand jury criminal action, is there any question in your mind that a Georgia-based corporation or Georgia office and the personnel there would be subject under the laws of Georgia to a Georgia grand jury subpoena?
If they were, this brings in the issue of service. If they were served,
no, that's what I'm saying. I mean, let's put you down. You have a office in Bacon and you're incorporated. You're a piece. So
somebody from a grand jury subpoenas you, you also have offices in California and in Chicago. There's no question, is there, that you can be lawfully subpoenaed by a Georgia grand jury in Georgia?
The only question is, the issue then becomes a service issue, which I don't think is an issue in this actual case.
Okay, well, question. Certainly not for purposes of Georgia law, right?
Yes, sir.
So what you want to talk about is perhaps the immunity issue and the way in which there was a response. Now, under Georgia law, there are certain requirements for the subpoena. Is there any question in your mind of was it validly issued? Was there a signature, all the other things that the Act requires?
There's no question that there's a subpoena, a valid subpoena, let me back up, not a valid subpoena, it was a subpoena that was probably issued.
Well, let me just ask then, why should we find a lack of good faith in Yahoo's attempt to comply with the subpoena?
Because Yahoo did not comply. They don't get the, I guess, the good faith because it was not in accordance with the terms of the subpoena. If you look at the terms of the subpoena itself, the subpoena specifically calls for the attendance of a witness and for that witness to bring with them certain documentary evidence. Unlike, for example, a 145 subpoena, civil subpoena, where there's an actual section that says you don't have to show up, you just send documents. Or unlike in other subpoenas where sometimes there's an in lieu appearance portion of the subpoena. In this case, the subpoena itself specifically said you, in person, must bring documents. And that's the problem. And the natural question or in response to that would be, well, why would you inconvenience somebody if they can simply just send you the documents?
Well, and then the practicality is it happens all the time.
But not
probably more often than not.
But not grand jury subpoenas. In civil subpoenas, I 100% agree. In subpoenas for deposition, I 100% agree. But the grand jury subpoena, the subpoena itself required the attendance of a witness.
But do you have any case law in any jurisdiction that says that if a subpoena before for a grand jury says when you're a custodian of records, which we're talking about here, your custodian of records has to be here with X documents at X time. And the attorney calls up the whoever it is, district attorney or whatever, and says, hey, you know, we've got these records and so on. And they always say, sure, no problem, send them over, send them by FedEx or whatever, and that's fine. That happens all the time.
It does.
Is there any case law that says that someone who does not, with the consent of the issuer of the subpoena, deliver these things early, that somehow they are breaking the law?
I don't, and the reason why is because I don't believe there is any, and I don't believe there's any case law that says the opposite. The problem is here is...
But don't you have a burden on this? I mean, I respect your ingenuity, but this doesn't make any sense, counsel, that we have a little enough comedy among the lawyers as it is. If we now ban them from appearing and delivering things voluntarily early, we've even screwed up the system more than it already is, haven't we?
In the context of civil, yes, but this isn't the comedy among lawyers. This is law enforcement is prohibited.
But it happens all the time there, too.
But under the Stored, the problem or the difference is in this specific case, the Stored Communications Act specifically says you cannot do this unless you've been compelled to do it. And the argument is that's not compulsion. If you're not even dealing with a piece of paper that allegedly compels you to do something says, it's our contention that that would be voluntary or at least not.
Aren't you really imposing a very high burden on Yahoo here? As one that, to me, seems sort of untenable for social media providers.
The not really. And the reason why I say that is because there's already specific things that they do in response to civil subpoenas. There's specific things they do in response to federal search warrants, state search warrants. We're just asking that the rules be followed so you or I or anybody in this room who's had their documentation subpoenaed from Yahoo knows that there's a little, for lack of a better word, hoop to be jumped through so their Fourth Amendment rights are protected. For example, in California, there is a specific state statute, California Penal Code 1324.2, that says if we get a state search warrant and you are an internet provider in this state, you have to comply with that out-of-state search warrant. If there's also the same statute goes on to say if you are a foreign corporation, like Yahoo is, you know, it's a place of business is here, you still have to comply with only with a California state search warrant. And the reason I bring that up, and I'll end on this, is because the legislatures in each state can easily make an exception to this requirement.
But the reality, counsel, is I believe that the issuer of the subpoena, grand jury, with the prosecuting attorney, they want the documents. They want the documents. That's all they care about. They don't care whether a person shows up with. Now, if they don't show up, then they have a time certain and specific things they can do to enforce it. But they want the documents. And if it's easier, less effective, less complex, less costly for all concerned, what's the legal, social, moral basis for commanding people that if the subpoena says you got to be here at this time and at that place? If you don't, you're toast. If the cab is late, if you have a snowstorm, you're in big trouble.
Because the Stored Communications Act protects individuals' privacy. If this were a normal document, if it wasn't stored communications, there would be. What you're saying is 100% correct. But when somebody has the privacy interests of their information or their records of being protected in the Stored Communications Act, we can't just say it's law enforcement, the district attorney's office, hey, we're going to make it a little bit easier. We're not going to make you jump.
Let's assume for a minute that every document produced is exactly the same document that would have been produced at the time and the place identified in the subpoena. In what way has your client been harmed that was not contemplated by the Stored Communications Act?
I don't think I have enough time to answer that. But
I'll take the time, please.
The Stored Communications Act is, as I'm sure the court is aware, it's got a lot of problems, it's got a lot of holes, and it needs to be updated.
I understand, but I'm focusing on this specific issue. What difference does it make if the documents that were produced a day, a week, a month earlier, but the same documents, exactly the same documents that disclosed exactly the same thing would have been produced on a date certain as commanded by the subpoena? What's the difference?
The difference is that the Stored Communications Act specifically gives you a civil action for something, for having a production or a voluntary or a disclosure that's not permitted under the Stored Communications Act.
And your point here is simply early disclosure fits into that category.
Because it did not comply with the statute, yes. I'm not going to argue, and I can't, because it would be unrealistic to argue that if you got something 30 days before it was actually due, that there's some different harm because you would have gotten it. Mm-hmm. You would have gotten it anyway. That's not what I'm arguing. This is I know it's a form of a substance argument. The statute says what the statute says. That's what I'm arguing. Thank you.
And we would also say de minimis non curat lex, right?
Counsel, do you, I still heard the entire.
I did. Good morning, Your Honor. Mark Willinger on behalf of Yahoo. And I think I want to just pick up where the admission happened to Joseph's question. I think the admission that he's going to make effectively ends the case. That is, he can see that.
Counsel, excuse me, counsel. Now, why should we find that Sam's lacks standing to challenge the subpoenas when the Uniform Act, when the documents sought to implicate her privacy?
To encourage the court to look at is the immunity provision 27F3E.
Mr. Williger, I have a question. I'm looking at E now, and in the third line of it, it indicates that, of course, that no cause of action is going to lie in any court, blah, blah, blah. This is with respect to people who comply, end quotes, in accordance with the terms of a court order, warrant, subpoena, statutory authorization, or certification under this chapter. opposing counsel takes the position that because Yahoo responded earlier than the subpoena mentioned, that that constitutes a voluntary and non-compelled compliance with E, and I assume their position is that you're not immune under that. Would you address that question, please?
I'm talking about thousands of grand jury subpoenas in other cases. He's talking about grand jury cases in a circumstance under a statute that provides particular protection to the privacy of people. So are thousands of statutes of subpoenas coming in those cases?
Is there a case to that effect, or that's what you're looking for? So you want us to look at this in terms of the practicalities, and what Congress was looking for here was there has to be compliance with the order. In this case, there was an order for production of certain documents, which had they been produced at the time and the place, they would not have been different than the ones that were earlier. Your view is that that is in accordance with the terms of the court order because it was not a voluntary but a compelled compliance. You just did it earlier. Is that correct?
Well, the two differences are you did it early and without the presence of the custodian.
But as the district court pointed out, we sent the documents, it was up to the grand jury and the prosecutor to decide if the custodian was necessary or not, and the prosecution decided the custodian wasn't necessary. Had they decided the custodian was necessary, Yahoo would have sent a witness at the date and time, probably from its Georgia office.
Well, I'm not asking really whether it's necessary or not, except under the statute, which says in compliance with the terms of the subpoena. And if the subpoena requires the presence of the custodian, that is a difference. Now, what the significance of the difference is a different matter. For the court to decide, I assume. But when we asked about, or Judge Smith asked about, is it simply the fact that it's early? Shouldn't we add to that also the fact that the custodian whose presence was required under the subpoena was not required to be present under what actually occurred? There are actually two differences between the terms of the subpoena and what occurred. Now, they may be of no significance, but I'm simply asking you factually, are there not two differences?
Where is that on the record, counsel?
the withdrawal of the requirement that the custodian appear in person. Yeah, and that's I thought I saw that. The question is, where, at what ER site is there a copy of this statement by the district attorney or whoever it was that withdrew the requirement that the custodian appear personally to deliver the record? It was not a written. Is there any reference in a written communication to an oral communication that waived that requirement? Well, if that's the case, then isn't Judge Reinhardt's question an important one? Admittedly, it was done earlier. There were the documents that allegedly were subpoenaed were the ones that were delivered earlier. However, unlike most situations where the custodian simply appears and gives the documents, if the grand jury was going to question the custodian, then arguably there would be no compliance. Isn't that correct? Okay. Yes, I will. I said Judge Reinhardt made the point that if there's no waiver of the custodian being there, the fact that the documents were the same that would have been produced at a later point, there would not necessarily have been compliance with the subpoena if the custodian was there and the grand jury wanted to question the custodian. So this issue of whether it was actually waived may have some importance. Okay, counsel, you're not answering my question. Listen carefully, please. Let's assume, for example, that you're the custodian of records and the grand jury wants to ask you how you keep records about individuals and about their account and where they're stored and who has access to them. If the custodian doesn't show up, they can't ask that. So it's important to know whether the custodian who was commanded to appear in the subpoena, if there was a command and the district attorney or whoever sent the subpoena waived it, great. But if they didn't waive it, then arguably there was no compliance with the subpoena because the grand jury couldn't ask those questions or something like it. Okay, so 49, let me look here. Okay, I'm looking at this letter, and I'm not sure this is going to help you all that much because it indicates that you are required by law to appear and produce the evidence described in subpoena before the grand jury on the date and time specified. Prior to your appearance, talks about appearance, you may wish to voluntarily provide copies of the evidence to a person. By voluntarily providing us with copies prior to your scheduled appearance, you will make it possible
for us to review the evidence in your possession in advance. This should expedite your appearance before the grand jury and make it possible for us to put you on call. So we don't know, and then ask whether you're willing to do that. Was there further communication that, where they did put you on call? Is it hyper-technical if they commanded you to appear and said if you appear, give the documents early, that you still have to appear unless we put you on call and then don't call you? And there's no record, apparently, that they put you on call and that they didn't call you, if I'm understanding it correctly. No, I don't want to know that. I want to know what happened in this case. But did they put you on call? Did they say you did not have to appear? And if so, where is the documentation? What anybody else thinks, right?
I'm sorry.
I say we know what you think it means, but there are no cases that says what anybody else thinks it means. That's his time.
He was way over.
He went way over, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Captain.
No.
Okay. Thank you all. The case just argued is submitted.
Put your mic down just a little.